We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, and Geraldine Jones in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is this week's chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much indeed, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. May I just remind you, for those who may not have heard the program before, the rules. I'm going to give these three people on the panel some unlikely subject to talk about, which they know nothing about. They must then try and speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject. If one of the other two think that they are guilty of this crime, they may challenge them, and if I uphold their challenge, they will gain a point, and if the challenge goes against them, the person speaking will gain a point. I think the rest of the points will become clear as we go along, so let us start straight off with Kenneth Williams. Can you talk for just a minute on winter woolies? Starting now.
Winter woolies got this name because, of course, of the action of Monty Woolley, who used to come on, dressed in this red flannelette in The Man Who Came to Dinner. Not to be confused with Monty the General, of course, who, when he arrived in his BVDs in Chongqing, found this old Chinaman who dropped dead at his feet. And he said, "Is this the usual customary greeting here, or are they suffering from malnutrition?" And they said, "No, it's because he sang Come into the Garden, Lord, the Black Rat Night has flown." And to open that, carcass, where the wax or stuffy in ear drove in order to pass the siren safely, which brings, of course, to Cinderella, who sat by the embers of the fire because she hadn't remembered to put her winter underwear on, you see. And this old witch came in, which is part of the siren business, and she said she'd give her three wishes and your pumpkin turns into a carriage or a load of rats, you know, as the case may be. And the prince said, "Anyone who fits that Wellington boot on their feet will be my wife." "Well," she cried, "joy in the eyeballs, joy to behold," and I can't really think, oh.
That's the first time for a very long time that anybody has actually managed to speak for just a minute without being interrupted. Nearly all of it was completely irrelevant to Winter Woolies. But it was a magnificent effort, and I'm going to award Kenneth Williams a bonus point. So you'll start off with
thank
two.
Thank you very much.
Geraldine, your chance to try and defeat the inimitable Kenneth. Geraldine Jones, will you talk for just a minute on impressing strangers, starting now?
The best strangers to impress are those you meet in railway carriages, preferably first-class ones, because you meet a better type of sex maniac in them. I always like to...
Kenneth Williams, what is your challenge?
Yes, why? We don't want to know the filth on the show. What's it got to do with sex maniacs?
Kenneth, we do not want a load of filth on this program. Will you please keep quiet and let... and let Geraldine Jones continue with her subject. Geraldine, you have 49 and a half seconds left to discuss impressing strangers, starting now.
The nicest thing about this is that you can pretend to be somebody completely different from who you really are. I always like to impress strangers that I am a spy, and for this reason I always travel on trains wearing dark glasses and an astrakhan collar. I also undo the heel of my shoe from time to time and extract little things that look like tiny microfilms. Everyone in the compartment looks at me very strangely, and I sort of sniff and impress them that I'm a sort of female James.
Kenneth Williams.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think this time she was.
She was hesitating all the time.
You have another point for that, and you have the subject of impressing strangers, Kenneth, starting now.
Well, of course, the first thing to do is to behave with an air of confidence. The moment you walk into the room, you must appear to know exactly what you're doing. If you don't come in with that impression, they will think, oh, he don't know what he's doing. And, of course, thereafter, you don't stand a chance about impressing them. The first thing we all want to do when we come into a room is to be liked. I mean, others want people to give us a cold shoulder, do we? So we all become very nice, very happy. Very...
Kenneth, it's your day. You're playing the game with a flamboyance that's ill become you.
Yes, I don't know what come over me.
Well, anyway, you've taken a commanding lead, and Geraldine has got a point. Clement has yet to score, but...
I have yet to speak.
Look, don't worry. He can come from behind and win convincingly if you're not careful. So, Clement Freud, it is your turn to speak, and no doubt win some points, and a subject which I'm sure you can discourse on a great length, but just 60 seconds will do. Matches. Starting now.
Matches
also tend to be contests between people, teams, clubs, universities or institutions. But perhaps in the first instance the general public will think of this word in the context of pieces of wood which have a sulfuric adhesive at one end which is struck against emery paper or similar substance.
Geraldine Jones.
Hesitation.
I think you're right. Yes, Geraldine, you have a point. You have the subject. You have 36 seconds, and the subject is matches, starting now.
Matches offer an enormous amount of entertainment. Whether you're making matches between your friends and hoping that X will marry Y if you can only bring them together at a suitable moment.
Clement Freud.
And Steve, yes. X marrying Y.
Yes, that's true.
Best friends.
Geraldine, it sounds very nasty, but can you qualify to make it not sound nasty for us?
Well, I
in about two sentences, very rapidly.
I don't like to say too much about these friends of mine,
then
but I can assure you that they do exist.
Yes, you have a point, and you have how many seconds? You have 27 seconds for matches, and you start now.
Matches are not essential because it is believed that if you rub two Boy Scouts together, a similar sort of thing will happen.
Geraldine.
Deviation is
yes.
Matches.
If your X and Y was devious, by golly, those Boy Scouts are devious. My goodness me. You have a point, you have the subject bad, Geraldine. You have, it's 18 seconds, it is matches starting now.
They also make wonderful toys for very fidgety people like me. You can take a box of matches, build them into houses, strike them against each other, see if you can strike a match and hold it at the other end so that it burns along the whole way and you get a nice little black bit. It doesn't look at all like the original thing you started with. You can...
To any listeners who may not have established our scoring system from the what's been going on, when the bell goes, whoever's speaking gains another point. Geraldine was speaking then, so she is now equal in the lead with Kenneth Williams, and Clement Freud is trailing somewhat. Kenneth Williams, it is your turn to begin. Oh, Kenneth, after your performance in the first one, what a subject Ian Mest has thought of for this one for you. Grand... I can't even pronounce it. Grandiloquence.
Oh.
I'll give you a second to think about it.
No, I won't.
Are you all right, are you? Mm. Grandiloquence, starting now.
Well, of course, this is taken, I think, generally to mean over-ornamentation in speech, rather like the St. Pancras Station. And we're told, of course, that the architect of that cried his eyes out when it was opened, and he said, oh, it's too lovely, it's too lovely. And indeed, crying brings us back to grandiloquence. Shakespeare himself says, speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounce it, you trivially on the tongue, and mouth it as I'm your...
Geraldine Jones.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, I think that if we'd let him finish this speech, it would have been over the minute, and we would have got what is not grandiloquence rather than what is.
Well, Geraldine, you're completely wrong. He hasn't even gone half a minute yet. He's no expression of grandiloquence, and I felt that Shakespeare probably was quite a good example of it. So, Kenneth, I'm still with you. You still have grandiloquence. You have 36 seconds, and you start now.
Well, another example of it would, I suppose, be summed up by Disraeli's remark about the man who was indulging in it to excess when he said... in grandiloquence, I mean. He said the gentleman is overcome by the exuberance.
Repetition. He said.
To underline the point.
Actually, this is one of those difficult situations. I do think that Kenneth was trying to illustrate his point. And yet he...
repetition.
His point was somewhat devious, I thought. But Geraldine has challenged on repetition. Now, I'm going to put it quite clearly to this delightful-looking audience here. If you think that Geraldine's challenge was justified, will you please cheer? If you think it was unjustified, will you boo? And will you all do it now? Kenneth, there with you.
Yes.
You have another point. You're well in the lead as well. You have 23 seconds. You have grandiloquence, and you start now.
Well, you see, Disraeli did say about this, the gentleman was overcome by the exuberance of his own verbosity. And that, I think, would be...
Clement Freud.
Repetition. Disraeli said that.
You're accusing him of repetition of Disraeli?
Yes.
Shut up, Kenneth Williams.
I said nothing.
You said quite enough. You are playing to the audience. Clement Freud is trailing for once, and he'll probably soon catch up. Watch out. He has the subject of grandiloquence. Clement, you have 14 seconds, and you start now.
Grandiloquence means talking rather like Kenneth Williams, only more of the fine, noble, and upstanding way of speaking and impressing people at the same time who look up to the speaker saying,
oh, yes. Well, Clement Freud is catching up on Geraldine Jones, who is catching up on Kenneth Williams, but Kenneth is not going to be caught up. He's still in the lead. Clement Freud, it is your turn to start, and the subject is the art of letter writing, and you have 60 seconds starting now.
The art of letter writing is generally attained by the use of a pen, a pencil, or some other instrument, which, when pressed onto a piece of paper, leaves a mark of some kind. Many letters begin with such good phrases as, "My husband and I," or just, "Dear Charlie, thank you very much indeed." And these pieces of paper are then put into an envelope, which is sealed by licking the adhesive substance on the envelope.
Geraldine Jones.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, these are the rather crude mechanics of putting paper in envelopes. Nothing to do with the art of letter writing. Composition.
Quite agree, actually. Putting letters into envelopes has nothing to do with the art of letter writing. That's what you were trying to say, isn't it?
That's what I thought I said.
Geraldine, do you want 2 points? I'll give you one and the subject and 30 seconds for the art of letter writing starting now.
I have developed the art of letter writing over a long and difficult period. You need to write an awful lot of letters before you feel that every piece of composition that you write has that unmistakable ring that you, the great Geraldine Jones.
Clement Freud.
Here it is.
Unfortunately, yes. Clement, you have another point. You have the art of letter writing starting. Oh, and the time. You have 16 and a half seconds starting now.
The most truly artistic letter I've ever received did come from Miss Geraldine Jones, who wrote to me from the Oxford Union, and the letter was one of such artistry I shall now recite it in full. Dear Mr. Freud, I would like you very much. This was duplicated.
Williams, it is your turn to begin. Oh, first of all, there's a penalty they're going to inflict on you this time.
Oh, I hate it.
I know. It's quite a simple one. It's a collective one. They, the word they. You mustn't say the word they. The subject is bird watching. You thought about it for a second. I think it's only fair when you have to leave out the word they. You have 60 seconds starting now.
Well, of course, you do need your hollow trunk. You must have a hollow trunk, and you get inside it, and you stick all these twigs and leaves onto your ear and all over your arms, so that you do look like a tree, and then possibly the birds will come right close to you. It's no good putting a load of snakes in your ear like Medusa, because birds don't go for snakes apart from eagles, and eagles aren't very often seen in England anyway. And that one got out of the zoo the other day, and all those birds, you know, got rushing...
Geraldine Jones. Hesitation. Geraldine, you have a point. You have 29 seconds for bird watching. No, they starting now.
I have no interest in looking at the feathered birds that Kenneth Williams has been talking about. Equally, I think I would be accused of deviation if I claimed to do any of the bird watching that is vulgarly known in Cockney language as looking at women. So I suppose I must just talk about something that I don't really know anything about. If you're watching birds, apart from all the camouflage that the more sophisticated bird watchers...
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I actually thought it was, but I'll tell you my definitely, I think it was, but there seems to be such a vociferous audience here who want to make their feelings, but I will give them a chance to do it again. If you think that she was hesitating, will you please cheer? If you think she wasn't hesitating, boo. And will you all do it now? She was not hesitating, Clement Freud. The audiences are the final judge. Geraldine Jones, you have another point. You have 7 seconds. You have bird watching. No, they starting now.
Only flamboyant people like Kenneth Williams need to dress up in twigs to watch birds.
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. The subject is bird watching. It's not me dressing up in twigs.
I think the idea of you dressing up in twigs is very devious. I quite agree. Kenneth, you have the subject. And here we go, fellow. You have 2 seconds for bird watching starting now.
Well, in winter, you get the blue tits, of course. And
Kenneth Williams, with that last remark of his, believe it or not, not only gained an extra point, he crept into 2nd place alongside Geraldine Jones, who are both just about 1 point behind Clement Freud. Geraldine, it is your turn to begin, and we're having another penalty on this round. The penalty is the word I. You mustn't say I. Anyway, at all, the subject is humbugs. Give you a second to think about it. Humbug, 60 seconds, starting now.
It's extremely difficult for egocentric people like me to talk about anything without using the word that is vetoed in this game. Humbugs, I think, are mainly...
Clement Freud.
Hi.
I think, Clement Freud. Yes, you have a point. You have 51 seconds for humbugs. No, I, starting now.
Humbugs are delicate sweets made of spun sugar, flavoured, as often as not, with mint...
Geraldine Jones.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, you are right, you have another point. You have 43 seconds. Humbugs, no I, starting now.
Humbugs can also be people. The sort of people that end up in Parliament saying things that they don't really mean, saying things that sound good, but in fact are very specious indeed. The humbugs that...
Kenneth Williams.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, you have a point, you have the subject. 30 seconds. Humbugs, no I, starting now.
Humbugs are people, of course, who continually indulge in bigotry. They're always be found with prejudices and nasty theories of their own, which they wish to impose on everyone else, and they're to be avoided. Avoided like the plague. Like a load of locusts in society, and I, for one, believe in the...
Clement Freud, you have another point. I don't need to ask you what it was for. You have 14 seconds starting now.
Kenneth Williams, as he has so rightly said, is not a humbug, because this sort of person is a phony, a difficult and complicated politician who speaks words that he doesn't mean.
Geraldine Jones.
Repetition. We've had this idea three times.
I don't think within the current rules of the game he really was. He has another point. There's 2 seconds to go for humbugs with no I starting now.
Most good sweet shops tell me.
Well, from the listener's point of view, interesting point of view, it's a Geraldine Hatton challenge there. Probably the scores would be equal, but it does mean that Clement Freud is now in the lead with Geraldine Jones and Kenneth Williams equal second still. Clement Freud, it is your turn to begin, a subject which I feel that you can talk about with some authority, we hope so, but just 60 seconds will do. The opposite sex. Oh, and haven't given you the subject, think about it for a second, because we're going to have a real penalty this time. You mustn't say either the word he or she. In talking about the opposite sex for 60 seconds, starting now.
I always refer to the opposite sex as it. I find that people prefer this to the definite article and are immensely flattered, especially when they come into a room and you turn to your guests and say, I can't remember its name, but it last came into this room wearing a skirt or a dress or a coat. And...
Geraldine Jones.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. We didn't know what that itch was doing, did we? Right, Geraldine, there are 37 seconds left for the opposite sex without mentioning he or she starting now.
It is, of course, perfectly logical for the opposite sex to all us human beings to be called it, but it makes it much...
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. Clement, you have another point. You have the subject back for 30 seconds. The opposite sex, no he or she starting now.
From my own point of view, this, of course, refers to women who are the best possible opposite sex for a man. Women are lovely, fat, blousy, bumptious creatures who creep into one's life full of little sayings that are endearing and homely and kindly and make one feel warm and comfortable and wanted. Women are easily distinguishable.
Geraldine Jones.
A plethora of women.
Oh, what a clever challenge. Yes, I think it was a very clever challenge because there were a lot of women going around here. You're quite right. And so we have a repetition of women, if not spoken, certainly by implication. And so, Geraldine, you have a point, you have the subject, and if I favoured you, probably it's fair because Clement's in a commanding lead. You have 6 seconds left for the opposite sex. No he's or she's starting now.
I dislike the phrase opposite sex because it has a sort of circumlocution about it. You'd feel that when people talk...
Clement Freud, Clement, you challenged just before it.
Hesitation.
No, I'm sorry, there was no hesitation. Geraldine has another point. She has 1 second left for the subject of the opposite sex. No he or she's starting now.
People who talk about...
So she has another point. Well, Geraldine, you have now managed to creep in to an equal lead with Clement Freud, and Kenneth Williams is, alas, trailing a little behind. And if you've never seen Kenneth Williams trailing a little behind, you haven't missed anything. Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. Something we hope that you can tell us a great deal about. in which 60 seconds, English slang, starting now.
This is not something I'm really very qualified to discuss, because slang is, of course, born of laziness in speech and is generally used by people without a very large vocabulary. My vocabulary is very extensive indeed. But I suppose a good example of slang would be that Cockney rhyming practice whereby they say apples and pears for stairs and shout nolla for collar and north and south for mouth. I believe this is a common parlance among Cockneys, and they say, what you got in your north, when they mean, of course, in your mouth. And they also say, are you going up the apples, when, of course, they really mean the stairs.
Chairman Freud.
We have that once. Repetition.
Yes, we've only had it once, though. I think within the context of the game, I think he...
No, he's quite right. He's absolutely right. He's perfect.
Do you want to give it to him?
Yes.
Oh, Kenneth, you're so generous. Kenneth Williams has given Clement Freud a point, and of course the subject, which he obviously didn't want. And 19 seconds, Clement Freud, English slang starting now.
Perhaps the most endearing form of English slang, as Kenneth Williams so eruditely pointed out, is rhyming slang, in which measure of speech I would like to commend to your attention, happies. Now, happies is rhyming slang for flowers, coming from happy half...
Geraldine Jones.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think there was just a mild hesitation there. With only 2 seconds left, you have English slang starting now.
Contrary to what...
Chairman Freud.
Hesitation.
Hesitation.
Yes, hesitation.
Freud, you have the subject back. You have 1 second for English slang starting...
Slang?
Put your thumb on your buzzer.
The slang, yes, I do.
Kenneth Williams, this is your chance. Put your finger on your buzzer. Clement Freud, you have 1 second left for English slang starting now.
Any form of speech, Ruth.
Well, Clement Freud has taken a minute lead from Geraldine Jones, and Kenneth Williams is still, alas, trailing a little, but only a little. Geraldine, it's your turn to begin. Geraldine Jones, the subject is brewing. For 60 seconds, can you think? I'll give you a second. You've gone so wide-eyed with amazement. Brewing. It's rather a male subject, isn't it? But anyway, start now.
Brewing tea is something I can do. Brewing beer is something I couldn't possibly do. I wouldn't really want to be able to brew beer because I think it's a rather revolting drink. Tea, on the other hand, usually gets worse the longer you brew it. It goes stale and horrible and smells. It goes darker in colour. This is a form of sadism on the part of the other two players of this game.
Clement Freud.
Deviation.
She was not deviating.
Sadism has nothing to do with brewing.
I think Geraldine Jones was not committing any crime. She was being intimidated. Geraldine, the subject is still yours. And you have 24 seconds left for brewing. And another point starts.
It's extremely difficult to talk about brewing when you're rendered unable to speak by giggles, which are produced by the sadistic onslaught of the two men on either side who want to hear you make a fool of yourself talking about your ignorance on a subject like brewing. Brewing is extremely complicated.
Clement Freud.
Reputation.
Brewing, yes. She has brewed up quite a few times. So, Clement Freud, you have another point. You have the subject of brewing, and you have 8 seconds left, starting now.
Brewing is something that takes time. In the case of beer, it means the betterment of a product by letting it rest.
Well, that, alas, is all we have time for in just a minute. Kenneth Williams was just behind Geraldine Jones, who was just a little way behind Clement Freud, who was this week's winner.
The chairman of Just a Minute this week was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.